Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Kinda Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Greg.
And rounding out the group today from the number 1 through 7 video game website, GameSpot.com, the one and only Timur Hussein.
What are we doing here? I don't understand. Hello.
I don't know. Greg looked for a little thing, and I got jealous. I don't have a little thing, so I just made a little thing out of my eyes.
You got to have more props. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what the world needs. More props.
You'd say right now you got a wooden circle. I got, yeah. And then Kevin could be like, do you got hand sanitizer? I'd be like, yeah. Cough drop? Yeah. 17 pairs of sunglasses and old glasses? Yeah. You got some butt cream? Yeah. You got all sorts of stuff. You got a little porty? Woo! I'm ready for anything over here. Yeah.
Can I ask that is how you know question? He's a dad.
Yeah, question. Who's the butt cream for? Is that
I'd prefer not to answer.
Oh wow. A little camera action. Ooh,
got the old Dead Island press kit, did you?
Yeah, I did get the Dead Island. You know it, Tam. What a bunch of crap.
Oh, you gotta love it. Of course, this is the Kind of Funny screencast where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If there is a pop culture moment going on, chances are we are giving our thoughts on it. Next week, we're going to be reviewing Thor, Love and Thunder, which is extremely exciting. So you can go check that out. On In Review, we're actually doing Ragnarok this week to lead into Love and Thunder. We've been doing the last couple. So Thor and Thor Dark World, you can go watch right now over on those feeds. Otherwise, Nick, are you planning on doing a Stranger Things Volume 2 screencast?
I'd like to. It depends on what we're going to do. But yeah, if the same crew from last time wants to do it this time, I think, I'd love to.
Cool. So at some point, you could probably expect that on this feed as well. Of course, if you wanted to get this feed ad-free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Molecule, and Fargo Brady have all done. We appreciate you so very much. Today, we're brought to you by Shopify and Athletic Greens, but I'll tell you all about that later. I want to get right into it. Miss Marvel episode 4. Nick, you missed out last week, so you actually had a double whammy of watching 3 and 4 back to back. Where you at?
I had a lot of Miss Marvel. It's good. I'm still really enjoying the show. I think that it's starting to suffer from some of the same problems we've seen with some of the other Marvel shows, where I just don't really think that the bad guys are all that compelling. I'm not quite sure what their motivations were, and this last one, the twist kind of came fast and furious, and I was like, oh, that's a little bit weird. But her sort of being at the wedding, her going to Karachi, all those things kind of, I just thought that was really fun. And that's something that you don't get the opportunity to see those visuals that often. You don't get the opportunity to see a little window that often, that culture. So for me, I'm like, that's kind of the heart of the story. And then seeing the relationships between the different generations of women in the family, I think that's just the stuff that keeps me coming back. All the other power stuff, it's starting to feel a little to me like, I don't really need these action set pieces, but we'll see what happens.
Tam.
Yeah, I think Nick is right in terms of what where it's at. It feels like it's starting to suffer from the kind of meandering nature that Marvel TV shows do. But having said that, I feel like the core of it is way more compelling to me than and any of the other shows where they started to meander. Like, you know, when Moon Knight started to meander, I was like very noticeably losing interest. Whereas this, it's got enough pieces, moving parts, and at least is visually and culturally interesting enough that it's keeping me engaged. There's relationships that are kind of playing out on screen that kind of fill in the void of big, you know, Marvel moments and like revelations that aren't there. So I feel like this is another episode. This is an episode where overall I think it was fun. Like we got a big couple of big action set pieces. We got a, you know, a chase scene, we got a brawl scene, and then we had a few like really heartfelt moments that I think anyone can relate to, but especially if you're like from a South Asian family, you can see some of the inner workings of your own relationships in there, which I thought was really cool and fundamentally still quite engaging.
Greg Miller.
I'm going to say what we're all thinking. When are we going to Karachi? This place looks like such a good time. I'm ready to go. Tim, it's right now. Can I expense it? It is $7,200 round.
Hey, listen. Oh, that's it. Yeah, what a deal.
Listen, I need a trip home, so if you want a tour guide.
Tim, let me tag along. Let me run around in jeans and be an outcast.
It was fun. So we can talk about this, but it was interesting because I felt like I was watching that and I was like, this is a type of experience that I never saw in Pakistan. Yeah. Because like I'm from a different cost of Pakistani, like I'm from like my economic band is way lower. Sure. So like the house that they lived in, I was like, damn, you got toilets, that's awesome.
Well, that was the thing for me when the episode started, like Jen immediately turns to me, she's like, these people just threw down thousands of dollars and like no, like not even a discussion. Let's go to Pakistan on a whim or whatever.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, that is an interesting thing. Of like that usually is a trip you'd have to plan a bit more for. Right now, if I needed to go to Pakistan, 7,000 grand. We're going from SF, so maybe
it's a trip. It's a trip you need to plan for if you're not Pakistani, and I can tell you this because my mom recently went to Pakistan and she literally went overnight. Like she just
popped in, man.
She was, yeah. I mean, she had a reason to go overnight, like it was like a family emergency. But it was when you're Pakistani, like going to Pakistan is simple as I'm gonna buy the ticket and I'm done. That's it. Like you don't need, like, especially if you're from there in the way that Kamala's mom is. Like you don't assume that you need to take things, you don't pack or anything like that. Right. You just up and go there because you've got a massive group of people, family, who will be immediately able to take care of you. And because she's from there, she knows I don't need to buy clothes. Chances are my clothes are already there. I just go around the corner to get more clothes. It's easy.
Just go around the corner to get more clothes. Tim, your question. What a fun episode. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a fun show. I do think that, like, you know, it is that young adult Marvel show. And, you know, I've talked about it, I think, throughout the weeks of, I would watch this if it was just a coming-of-age story for Kamala. Like, I enjoy that. And it does feel like a Disney Channel original show that you'd watch or enjoy, or a movie even at times, right? And I think that resonates sometimes in how easy the plot is and how easy it is just to go to Pakistan and then like, all right, cool, we're there. And like this fight scene in the train station is like, she puts on the mask. I'm like, well, you're the one American girl running around in jeans. Like, I don't know if the mask helped, but it's like, you know what? Suspend the disbelief and go. And then, yeah, there is the fight. And it's like, all right, this is enjoyable enough. It's not MCU on the big screen level, but it's like I'm having fun and I'm enjoying the banter between them. I think, again, you know, you can't give enough flowers to Kamala herself. Like, she is such a great character. She is portrayed so great by Iman on screen. Like, I just like watching her interact in general. So the superhero stuff, even though it's not the most bombastic huge stuff, or even how I would use the powers, when they're in the car chase and she turns to the guy with the scarf, she's like, do something. I'm like, make a fist and punch the fucking car, Kamala. Like, you can do it. What do you mean, do something to this guy? Turn around and go, boof, you know, and it's like, but again, it's enjoyable and I can suspend the disbelief because she's just a high school student who has these powers and didn't do the Tobey Maguire, I'm going to spend an afternoon after school learning how to do them ins and outs. Shazam.
Yeah, I'm totally right there with you guys where this episode does have that feeling that a lot of the other Marvel shows have of, okay, we're about halfway through. Let's kind of take a breather to go deeper into some things that aren't necessarily like the introductions of the characters and all that. And I thought that this was one of the better examples of it. And I think it's because we are sitting with this culture and sitting with this family that we've kind of learned to love the last couple episodes, and that has been like the strong point of the series so far is the family dynamics and Kamala herself. And it is interesting to see that this episode kind of felt the most kind of exposition heavy episode so far in terms of like new types of exposition, and it felt less connected to the superhero stuff. And then the back half of the episode with all the action felt like they kind of were required to remind us it was a superhero thing, and I kind of feel like that got in the way a little bit in terms of my enjoyment of the episode. I think that the action scenes overall worked, but they still do have that kind of like chase scene from the TV show's vibe that we've seen now in Moon Knight, we've seen it in Hawkeye, right, and we've seen it in Book of Boba Fett, and all of them have great moments, but I think scenes overall kind of lack the necessary like oomph to kind of like feel like it's a worthy use of the screen time that it all has. But I do think that the parkour chase that happens a little later after the car chase section of it all, like one thing that I really appreciate about Ms. Marvel is how much color is in all of the set designs and like how for sure much lighting is used. Like it's not just the, you know, texting, like showing up in the kites and stuff, which is still cool. And like, I like how much they insist on using that every chance they get in as unique ways as they can. Like, I like that as a through line, but I love that even as they're running through the city, it's like every single building, every single awning has like just pops of color everywhere. And I think it really kind of helps propel the series to feel like it's all part of a cohesive whole. Like seeing the intro where it's like the logo of Ms. Marvel just flashing over and over in a bunch of different styles. Like, I feel like that style is representative of the show as a whole. Like every single shot has that vibe to it. And I think for the most part that works. Like I really enjoy the Edgar Wright style editing that this continues to have. Like even the opening scene of going from the Marvel Studios logo into the sky through the airplane, like all that one shot stuff. And then later we get the transition cut where it's like a bunch of doors slamming for them to get to Pakistan. I'm like, this is great. Like the people that are editing this and shooting this, like everyone seems to be working together with one coherent vision of what they want this to be. And I think all of that is in service of Kamala's story and her family. But I am right there with you guys when it comes to the bad guys. Like, it is the weakest part of the show right now. And I feel like this episode didn't fill me with hope that it's going to like all work out well, that these are going to be high ranking Ragu Bagu people. But I feel like there was stuff with the Red Daggers that I'm unaware of. I don't really know that stuff from the comics at all, that I'm like, I'm kind of interested in this. I like that there seems to be opposing forces. We get the death at the end of the episode that I was like not expecting to go down that way, especially not expecting to be that violent of him get like stabbed and then flipping over the thing and falling. But I'm into the Red Dagger stuff, and I think that the bad guy stuff is not bad yet. Could be bad, but I think that there, with the Red Dagger elements, there's hope that the different kind of teams within the Jin situation, I think, could maybe make it a little more interesting for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying, but it's weird because I don't feel an imminent threat when I watch this show, and that's a problem, because I think when you have those moments where she's hanging out with her cousins on the beach and trying the new foods and wondering if it's spicy, and like, just try it. Like, you know, the coming of age, sort of growing up, those should be ideally, you want those to be sort of respites from the tension that's caused by the bad guys, like this imminent threat. And we've already talked about sort of like this convergence level thing happening. They brought up Eric Selving as being like having written a paper on it. And so all that stuff is cool, but it kind of reminds me of Dark World, where we just talked about that last week, where I'm like, I didn't care then, I don't care now about this mysterious world converging into ours and taking it over. We've seen that before, and the last time we saw it, it ranked smack dab on the bottom of our MCU list. So that's just, I just wish they didn't feel the need to pick their battles, right? Like I said, like Tam and I were talking about, like, I love watching her with the family. I loved that scene with her mom and her grandma, where they talked about, like, you know, having to leave. I think the best part of any of these episodes so far was this, you know, the balcony where she was like, I'm still struggling to find my identity, right?
Yeah.
And like,
what's the rush?
What's the rush?
I love that. I loved that. It was so good.
And even the line about, like, finding beauty in broken pieces. Like, that's such a nice line.
It's all so well done, but it's almost... It shouldn't be like, oh, right, there's superpowers in this, right? I shouldn't feel like that's a chore to get through, to get back to those other things. That should help complement those smaller, you know, the B storylines that are happening with the characters, or rather the inner struggle that's happening with Kamala. And we're not getting that. And it's the same criticism we had of Falcon Winter Soldier with the Flag Smashers, where it's like, man, dude, we're talking about some really heady shit here, and it's really well done. and Sam and both those characters have this interesting dynamic, and like politically we have this thing, but then we have these generic characters that are just in there and getting killed off one by one. And even in the, at the end of this episode, I was like, how didn't they all die? Is there only like one person left that's an antagonist?
And that's another thing about it too, where again, this is something I mentioned upon the introduction of all of them, right, where it was just too many too quickly, whereas I thought, you know, the friend of the great grandma was a really cool and intimidating. She had her son, that's awesome. But then yeah, it's just like when they're rounding corners and being attacked, and me, I'm just like, which, like one's face gets slammed up against the glass and then through the glass by the red dagger guy, and I was like, which one was that? Is he the one guy that keeps doing the same fucking thing of coming in rounding corners going and spinning his little mace? And I'm like, that's a cool spin, but I've seen you do it there seven was, times in this episode. Mace, like, guy, I don't and then know who the fuck guy. You are except the mace spinner, but whatever.
Well, I like the belt guy that takes that took his belt off.
Yeah,
whipping people with it. I was like,
that's a classic cool. Pakistani dad move, so it makes perfect sense. I think that the interesting thing is, like, I can see what they're going for, but I feel like there's elements of it, like, they're not leaning into it hard enough right now. It feels like they're being almost too subtle. They need like a villain to sell. So like the kind of like different worlds phasing in kind of thing, it is a familiar thing that we've done in Marvel, but I feel like I understand what they're going for here. They're going for the partition thing again, right? The India-Pakistan thing, and it's mirrored in this like different kind of realm that exists at the same time as the one we know. And the problem with that is, I think it's a really good idea, but the bad guys who are trying to make it happen aren't like effusive enough, if you know what I mean. Like they need almost like a, this is pulling from I'm trying to find the best Marvel like kind of like poll, but like they need a Mandarin style figure, like the original man, like, you know, the routine that Travis Slattery was doing where he's like, you know, you'll never see me coming, that kind of thing, that version of him. They need they need a villain who's like that, who's a little more charismatic, whereas there's like the current the villains, the djinn that who are trying to make it happen, they feel kind of wishy-washy. Like none of them feels like a villain leader. They all feel like they're henchmen to someone that we don't really know yet. And I don't, doesn't seem like there is anyone that we don't know yet. And the other part of it is their plight isn't all that interesting. Not plight, but like the problem that we have is they're after the bangle. And because the way the kind of the action sequences are presented, like they're fine, but they don't have that oomph to them. We haven't had a moment where we see what the true power of the bangle is, because Kamala isn't really doing anything super cool with it. She's doing things here and there, but so we need a moment where we're like, oh, we gotta make sure that they do not get that bangle, because it seems like that thing could really cause problems. But because Kamala's not using it in a way that really has like a jaw-dropping moment, like if she had that moment where she's like, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out who's done something, like, you know, the moment where Cap gets the Mjolnir and you're like, oh shit, that thing can do damage in the right or wrong hands. Like, you need a moment like that to really sell the idea of the tension of these people are trying to get the bangle off her. I don't buy it.
And it's the same thing too, just like, you know, the stakes here are that there could be a boom. And now we've taken that as there is going to be a boom. And it's like, okay, I mean, I get it, but also like, and then today, obviously in the episode, right, Leader of the Red Daggers is like, oh no, they'll come over and take over our Earth. And it's like, okay. Like, it's just cool. So many nebulous things we're dealing with that are surrounded by cool performances and cool people and cool visuals and cool like conversations. But like, yeah, I'm with you all. I'm just like, I would have much rather it was great grandmother's friend, her son, a lot more weird, is she with us or not in Jersey? And then this big reveal of like, I'm going to unleash my universe on you, and this is how it's going to be. And that, rather than kind of like even Agnes, right? From Agatha from WandaVision.
Real quick,
before we get back to you, Tam, let me tell you about our sponsors.
This podcast is brought to you by something Tim literally uses every day. AG1. Tim's birthday is June 30th, and he decided to give himself the gift of taking care of his body with AG1. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things! Tim mixes AG1 with his water, loves the taste, taste and says he's feeling better than ever. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, and Athletic Greens is a climate-neutral certified company. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition insurance. Love sponsors.
Go for it, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in other regards, I feel like I'm doing the bit where I just kind of do the representation check-in. It's doing really well still, like, and that's the kind of thing that is like pulling me through. Even when I'm bored, I'm like, oh, she's in Pakistan, and like there's things that happen, like the bit of text that they show on screen before it starts in Urdu. I was like, what does that say? And like, it's been a while since I've read Urdu properly, and I like stared at it for a while, and I was like, what does it mean? And it just means previously on. I spent 10 minutes trying to figure out. Yeah, I was like, God, I thought this was something like for us. But beyond that, there's some like really cool like throwaway moments where it's like they're having the argument on the plane in between the dude the dude sitting in the middle, and that's a very like Asian like parent thing where if there's an argument that is gonna happen, it's gonna happen regardless of who's watching,
right?
Like I feel like I feel like in most other cultures they're like, we'll do this later, and then they make nice until later. Here it's like, no, we're gonna get this shit out, and if there's a dude sitting in between us. The amount of times I've been in family arguments where I'm like, there's a random man in between us. What's going on? And like, it's still got to happen. The newspaper that the man reads in the middle of him, it looks exactly like a newspaper called The Jung, which is a Pakistani newspaper or a South Asian newspaper that I used to have to go to buy for my granddad every week. It's like, it looks exactly the same. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is that or if it's inspired by it, which is amazing. And then like Tam,
Is ABCD a thing? Or do the show just make a joke?
No, I think it is a thing, but obviously I wouldn't be super familiar with it because it's focused mainly on American born people. I was born in Pakistan and then moved to Britain. The equivalent we have is coconut. Which is brown on the outside, white on the inside.
Sure.
that's what people used to call each other. But yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if that's a real thing. I just love the kind of like the family moments between all these characters, and also because, like I said last week, it's very aspirational. That's the thing about Miss Marvel, the comic book as well. It tells the reason why a lot of South Asian people relate to it is because it's almost like an idealized nice family. Like when I read it, I'm like my parents would have never talked to me like this, or like my mom would have talked to me like this. Like I never received that level of understanding and insight from a parent or a grandparent in my lifetime. And like you read it and it's kind of like, oh, I wish I had, this is what it's like to have a quote unquote normal family. And to see it on the screen again, it's like really sweet where you can, and there's an element to all these characters look like they could be my auntie, my mom, my grandma. So like, it's almost like a form of therapy watching this on a screen, and also like seeing it, and like, so in the regards of like how Pakistanis and Muslims and are portrayed, it's very very like still very good. They use like words like the way that their cousins greet Kamala when she comes to off the airplane, there's like the greeting is technically assalamu alaikum, but the way she says it is very Pakistani. She says assalamu alaikum, which is like a sped up version where you only say it like that if you are natural, like that's how you're used to saying it. So I love the small touches.
Tam, I had a question for you, and like we talk about this being an idealized version of the family of Pakistan, yada yada yada. What is the societal norm about the jeans? So is it that women can't wear jeans? Can they not wear pants? Can they not wear those inside? Is it like, Would she be shunned? Like, would she get
These days, it's a lot different. These days, like, you can go to parts of like Islamabad, which is the capital, or even Karachi, I guess. Like, and you'll find like fashion areas. I think it's just like certain restaurants and like certain locations have. It's basically a dress code.
Okay.
I've been to Pakistan and seen people wearing jeans, and it's absolutely fine. It's not a problem. Okay. But then like generally, like you do stand out when you're wearing jeans because it's hotter than hell over there. And like if you're walking around in jeans, people are like, "Yo, you're clearly a foreigner." As I know, because the first time I returned to Pakistan after a really long period, I showed up in a full 3-piece suit, and people were like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Are you the mayor of Pakistan?
Exactly. I was massively overweight in this giant suit with long hair, just sweating buckets.
Yeah,
and people were like, "What are you doing, bro?" Like, but my family from there were like, "You have to make a good impression." I was like, "I've been stitched up here royally." Yeah, so I think she just stands out and is like a dress code and that kind of thing. Yeah.
So my question is, what are we supposed to take away from the end of this episode? Because it was late for me. So, but I was a little wishy-washy on what was actually going on.
Yeah, that was me too. Of like, I understand. Obviously, they want the cliffhanger, they want the thing. But it was one of those for me of like, is she in? Is she ethereal? Is she like people are bumping into her? So she's there, but is she really there? Did she time travel? Is this a vision? Is she is she going to like just nobody else can really see her, but eventually she's going to see her great grandmother and be able to communicate with her? And I guess they want us to ask these questions to be excited to tune in next week. Yeah. But I could have gone for more. I'm with you, Tim. If she's really there, someone should have been like, "What the fuck are you wearing?" And if she's not there, she should have, when somebody bumped her or grazed her, she should have gone through like a ghost and been like, "Oh."
Yeah, but for me, I think it was just one of those, like, she's having this vision, she's in this moment, and you're kind of just, I didn't ask any of those questions. I was like, oh, she's just going to talk to her great-great-grandmother. She's just back in that time. This thing has transported her back there to some degree, and we'll figure it out next week. But I don't know.
I'm fuck up the timeline if this ever happened to you, because you wouldn't have these questions. I'd get there immediately, stop for a second, try to figure it out. Nick's over there just making out with people, kickboxing, you know what I mean?
I would immediately get snacks. I would just go and get whatever snack was available on that train. I love train snacks.
Spicy or not, doesn't matter.
I don't care about spicy. No, I mean, I'm excited about that. That whole sequence, I'm excited to see how that all comes together, and just what's happening next to that. For me, as a cliffhanger, it was fine. I'm just more concerned with where we're gonna be with the antagonists in the next episode, because I think there's only like two left, and they all got their asses kicked pretty handily by someone who doesn't really know how to use her powers that well. So
I think it's gonna be, I think we're kind of building up to we talked about it like two last episode, but like this is the one of the major themes running through it, is like what it's immigration and what happens when you choose family versus what happens when you don't choose family. And I think like at the center of it, I think it's going to be one of those climaxes that isn't necessarily defeat the villain focused, but like choose a path focused. And I think it's going to relate quite hard into like Kamran, who like has been now kind of disowned by his mom for figuring out, like he's gonna be pivotal to what happens in the next couple episodes. He was kind of just like tossed aside in this episode, which is a shame, but I feel like there's gonna be might even be a redemption for his mom as well, and we'll get a revelation about what's really going on in the flashback.
It's interesting though, because go ahead.
No, go ahead. But you are right, like I'm not sure where it's going with this, the villain story.
Well, because I think one of the things that I thought was fascinating to build up with, and it's a tried and true sort of, like, I don't want to say cliche, but it's a trope that a lot of coming of age stories use, is there's a wedding happening and you got some, and then, oh my God, they changed the date of the wedding and it coincides with the big thing that you've been looking forward to that you want to tell your parents about, right? And so like, I think they were trying to lead up to that moment last week. I don't think it hit quite as hard. What I was hoping it would be, and what I was hoping we would lead up to as this wedding was going, was the climax of whatever was going to happen. She was going to have to choose between the two. And I wanted that moment. I don't know if you guys probably talked about this last week, so I apologize. I wasn't here for that. But I wanted that moment where Peter walks into the prom and looks at Liz and goes, "I'm sorry," and has to walk right out and go do the job. And I just don't think we ever got there with this. And then I was like, oh, they're going to Karachi. I was thinking maybe they're going to do another wedding there, because I know that sometimes like that happens, right? Like you'll do the American wedding, the stateside wedding, and then you'll go and you'll do it for all the relatives that couldn't travel, or for anyone else that that is in the extended family. And then they just arrive, and I'm like, oh, no, that's it. The brother and all that, that whole storyline's out of it. So we don't even have that tension necessarily to build. So I'm just curious to see where we're going to go from here.
Yeah,
with two episodes left, too. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of stateside storyline to catch up on, too, like with the whole Nakia running for the board, and then we have Bruno maybe going to Berkeley, like all that stuff. Like, I don't think that it's impossible to wrap those storylines up in 2 more hours, but it is weird to leave this episode off with that, not flashback, but like her kind of being in that area with two episodes left. But we'll see. I did like how the credits changed to be Karachi for all the backgrounds instead of Jersey and with all unique animations and stuff.
I talked about it briefly earlier, but I think one of the biggest issues that I'm having with a lot of the current TV shows in Marvel's cinematic universe, especially the ones that introduce new characters, is, I don't know, maybe it's because the way they're telling stories and the particular beats that they're going for, they don't feel like none of these characters, Moon Knight, Kamala, I don't know, like, I guess the others are fine because they're already from the larger MCU, but like, especially these two, I don't see a natural pathway in to them reaching the bigger stage, if you know what I mean, which is something that they want to do, right? They want to take someone like Kamala, and eventually she's going to be part of a team, and she's going forward. But like, the thing I'm really struggling with is the way they're depicting these characters, they feel like TV show characters, and it doesn't. If like Kamala Khan pops up in an MCU movie, it's going to feel jarring currently because she doesn't feel like she can hang. Like she needs a moment where she proves, like I said earlier, she needs a moment where she has a big bombastic, like, I'm capable, I can do this power shit, I can kick it on a big level in the way that, you know, someone like Peter can, or that kind of thing. Right now they feel like every new character introduced is like depicted, and the narrative and characterization presents them as people who are always going to exist in this snow globe version of the MCU, which I'm hoping that they figure out, because I do want to see her and see Moon Knight step into the larger world.
For her, I think it works the best in terms of getting her over, because I think at the end of this, she'll have whatever she does to stop the Jin, right? And she'll use her powers and it will be big. And how it looks or how it plays or whatever, I think it'll be a big enough moment that when you lead into the movie Marvels, right, it'll have caught the eye of Carol or Rambo, right? Of like, whatever it is, for some reason that's there, or puts her onto a scale where it could be that when she does in the movie interact with them, she gets to be like she is in the comic, where she just flips the fuck out and be a fangirl and be literally us if we had superpowers, an MCU fan in that scene, or and be there. And then you assume she will be a bumbling super low-level hero in most of that movie, until in that movie she has a real moment of choosing her powers or being trained by Carol or whatever it's going to be to do what she needs to do the thing and be like, oh wow, Ms. Marvel is a force.
I really want to see the kind of push and pull, like when she does make it into the larger world. I want that. If I was writing this, I would be like, we should have a two mentor situation where one, she wants to, like, Carol is obviously the natural mentor for her, but I would say like she needs to also have like Doctor Strange being trying to be a mentor, because she exists in the world of Jinns, and Jinns is like
all right, wait, I'm sorry, Doctor Strange has too many, he's mentoring too many people.
Yeah, I would really
it's
love
a
it.
Joke at this point.
Yeah, I would really love it if they had that push and pull between like, hey, the spiritual and like physical side, where Carol has to teach her a superpower, whereas like you know, someone like Doctor Strange is like, I can help you figure out this mystic art stuff because it is weird. That would be so cool. Right.
Also, let's not forget, last time Doctor Strange mentored someone, he tore a hole in the fabric of space time. So maybe we don't let him near the
team. That's two times,
anymore.
Right? You know, yeah, yeah. America. Shang-Chi, man, let him do it.
Yeah, but I'll say, like, I mean, I had that same like thought process when we, you know, because it's like the second time we're going around with these Marvel shows. The first time was on the Netflix shows, and I thought then, I was like, oh, that's gonna be kind of weird. And then seeing Charlie Cox pop up in No Way Home, I was like, oh, it'll be fine. They'll figure out a way, right? Where there's a will, there's a way. And I think that as long as you have capable actors, we can figure out good stories to put them in. But I do think that from the standpoint of pretty much all the Disney shows, which is like, are you how are these affecting the larger, the yeah. bigger budget movies, right? And we've seen it in to a degree with the Star Wars shows. They're just a different product. I don't know that any of those characters necessarily can. I think it's going to be a little bit a bigger of an uphill battle to get them in a big budget movie. But there's also fewer Star Wars movies out there, right? I think there's a really easy way to organically kind of put her in there and kind of have her have the same path Peter had, where you give her an Iron Man character, and then we have that fun back and forth for sure.
Yeah, I think they've been doing a good job with it so far. Yeah. And I think that most of it's with, like, Wanda is the only example we've seen so far of the characters going from show storyline to movie storyline. Mm-hmm. I think they handled that well. And when it comes to Moon Knight, I think they just didn't go the direction I expected it to. So I think that his origin story is not done yet. We still have a third of it to figure out before he's ready to kind of work with other team members or whatever it is. But I think that with Miss Marvel, if I had to make a prediction, I imagine that by the end of this show, the bangle's going to break. And I think she's not going to have the bangle anymore. And she's going to be the power. And that's going to be her, like, super power up moment. And that's going to put her in a much better position to be alongside Monica Rambeau and Miss yeah. or Captain Marvel in the next movie.
Yeah.
Which, exactly.
I also think, season two, I bet what happens is they're going to do the thing. It's classic, like, coming of age teen story where she'll go back to Jersey and start, like, building a romance with Bruno. And then season two, Kareem, Red Dagger, is going to show up in New Jersey, because in the comics, he does, like, do an exchange student thing and come to live with Kamala and the Khans. So I bet you they're, like, setting him up for a season two. He's a cool character as well. Like, very cool. So I'm excited to see him or more of him.
Yeah, that's awesome. But the other thing to talk about heroes transcending, it's like Kate Bishop, I feel like, could pop up anywhere, and I'd be, like, stoked to see her on the big screen. Yeah,
so. I still think it's a unpopular opinion. Hawkeye is my favorite of these Marvel TV shows. Like, I love it. So good. It's so good. And I think, like, Hayley Steinfeld is the best thing that they've introduced in the MCU in a while.
Yeah.
She's got like Robert Downey Jr. energy to me, like, which is wild.
It's funny to me because I kind of have to take a step back and make sure I'm like, am I just biased? Because sometimes when I see movie actors that are established movie actors, there's a part of my brain that goes, yeah, it's a movie actor. That's awesome. We should all be so lucky that they're gracing us with their presence on these TV shows. But it also just helps that I think she had really good chemistry with Jeremy Renner. So, you know, I'd like to see more of that, which I don't think we're going to get necessarily. But yeah, I'm all for her for 100% being in some of the movies.
Well, let us know in the comments below what you thought of episode 4 of Miss Marvel. We have 2 left, and we will be reacting to them the next 2 weeks here on the Kinda Funny Screencast. Tam, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
Thank you for having me. You can find me on GameSpot, Giant Bomb, twitch.tv/MoreH. I did Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm everywhere, man.
Hell yeah. Well, go follow him. And until next time, love you all. Goodbye.
Marvelous day.